wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. What shall the end be? In these last days of chaos and distress plaguing nations, with wars without and sex and murders within, thoughtful and informed men know that this cannot go on forever. Something of universal proportions is about to happen, and the cry of their hearts is, what shall the end be? In the Bible, God reveals to us both the conditions and the end of these last days. And though written 2,000 years ago, God's Word describes the conditions of our generation better than the most informed analysts can do so today. And Holy Scripture shows us its development and final end, chapter after chapter. And the last book of the Bible tells the story step by step. But here I must leave the world situation to confine my subject to the personal aspect of it all. That is, where are you and where am I in all this? My Bible verse, 1 Peter 4:17, brings us to that personal concern as it cries, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That puts each individual on the spot, one person. Neighbor of mine, imagine yourself sitting in the chair of the accused in God's court. As the charge of God, the judge of all men, sounds clear and plain in your guilty ears. First he charges you with your wicked sins, and then to climax it all comes this, and you have not obeyed the gospel of God. This last charge is spoken in such wrath, you might well tremble. You became accustomed to treat with indifference every event of your life that was a divine warning, and your heart became harder and harder. But once you heard a street preacher cry, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And those words at times so plagued you, you had to reach for a cigarette or a drink or gaze on some sexy pictures to try and forget it. But in God's court, there is no forget it. For from God's perfect records, there is read out in public court your dirty and God-defiant sins. You started on that black road in tender youth, and as years passed, your sins multiplied in numbers and intensified in shameful words, thoughts, deeds, and desires, until only God could count them. And now they are brought into the light of God's presence and judged by his holy standards. Then comes the final charge in the intense anger of Almighty God. The Bible warned you of this, saying, he that believeth not the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Wrath, yes, the irresistible vengeance of God. And that for how long? Abideth. It never ends. But of whom is this speaking? Them that obey not the gospel of God. Because it is the gospel of God, the God of heaven and earth, it demands man's obedience, his absolute submission. To not obey is to defy God. To not obey is to treat with indifference his message to you and his word, the Bible. You may throw the Bible into the fire to show your total disregard for God's message to you. You may watch the paper book consumed in the fire, but that does not end the matter. That eternal and indestructible word of God will meet you in the judgment, for the word of the Lord endureth forever. As Jesus Christ, the Son of God, began his preaching, he cried, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And he warned us all, saying, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all perish. God demands our repentance and our faith. It is his command to be obeyed. And the Bible reveals that the day is coming when that same Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. The gospel I preach unto you is not the sweet and low, the nice and soothing, man-pleasing message of modern preachers, but my gospel demands obedience, for it is the gospel of God. First, it demands your repentance toward God, as God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Like it or hate it, it's God's demand of every man, and that takes in you and me. It is to repent or to experience the wrath of God forever. In your life of sin, you have destroyed yourself from being what God made you to be. And your sinful habits, words, and deeds have influenced your relatives, your neighbors, and fellow workmen to follow your example. You got a kick out of it to hear them match your dirty jokes with one of theirs. You bragged on the number of cigarettes you smoked in a day, so they tried to exceed that too. And you boasted of how you could drink so much liquor and still drive your car home at night, so they tried that too. And when you heard of their wreck, you didn't even shed a tear or beat your own breast. Your sins have ruined you and have spread that deadly cloak over others. But now you must face the most serious aspect of your folly. All your sins have been against the God who hates sin. When an angel sinned, God cast that angel down to hell, and you and I deserved that for our sins. But no, in God's great mercy, he ordained a means of mercy for us. It was our repentance. It is too late for you to live your life over. None of us can even live one day over. God knew that well, and so he provided his mercy on what you can do. You can repent, and in tears of heart confession, own up to your wicked and wasted life of sin against God. You can tell him in words like these, "Oh my God, when those angels sinned, thou didst cast them down to hell, and I deserved that long ago. But in thy forbearance I'm still on earth. I thank thee and I beg thee to show me thy great mercy and forgive me of my sins and change me to love thee, my God, and to live a life pleasing to thee." That's a good start, but that's not enough. It is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How could God show you mercy and still be a holy and righteous God? Repentance may be the means, but what is the way? You can repent, and you must, but there must be a way, and that you and I could not provide. Into this hopeless and impossible gap, there steps forward one, the man Christ Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners who repent. To do this, he must die for our sins and pay the awful price of our wickedness by laying down in sacrifice his own blood as he hung on a criminal's cross of intense cruelty. And to meet our need, he must conquer death and rise out of the grave and ascend back into heaven, where God has enthroned him Lord of all. As I preach to you who are repentant sinners, Christ Jesus the Lord, who is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seen he ever liveth, I call upon you to put your faith in him alone as your Savior from your sins, and to make a complete surrender to him to be the Lord of your life, dedicating all you have and are to him, and submitting to him to take absolute control of your life from this hour. This is the faith that must accompany your repentance. This is the faith that saves you, as it makes you one with Jesus, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. This is the faith that will work great changes in your life, your habits, your words, and your associates too. For you become a new person, born of God to be his child, and indwelt with his Holy Spirit, so that all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. This personal experience in repentance toward God and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ you must have, or else you will be branded as one who has not and who will not obey the gospel of God. And the verse declares, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? For them they shall one day die in their sins and be forever without Christ, without God, and having no hope. And our Lord Jesus Christ told us they will go into hellfire to be tormented in those flames and denied even one drop of water to cool their tongue. And there they shall remain for over 1,007 years. What will they do all that time? One word describes it: remember. Their conscience shall plague them with memories as their eyes see, as if looking at a TV, themselves in their wicked sins, and as if listening to a radio. They shall hear their own voice of pride and ungodliness, and somehow it'll be like a surgeon cut open their heart and head, as all those lustful desires and unholy schemes came out of their hearts and heads. And no memory is so tormenting as to remember how again and again they stubbornly would not obey the gospel of God. And if they beg to be taken out of hell, they'll be told, "You shall be taken out of hell, but to something worse. It will be the judgment. As your soul and spirit ascend out of hell, your very body shall come forth from the grave. At that great white throne you will cry to the mountains to hide you, but to no avail. You must be exposed in that light so bright it penetrates deeper than an X-ray. All your sins shall be manifested before all created intelligence. The angels and saints shall be there. But who is that judge? He is Jesus, God's Son, whom he has appointed the judge of all men, and he's the very Savior you ignored. Oh, the awful memory of what it might have been if only you had obeyed the gospel of God. Is that all? No, for from that great white throne they are cast into the lake of fire, and that will be not for 1,007 years, but forever and ever. And it will be even worse than hell, for their bodies will be there too. Their bodies shared in the thrills of their lusts and appetites, and they shall partake of their anguish in that everlasting fire, where they shall suffer in full consciousness everlasting punishment. No wonder the Bible cries out, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" But some of you have obeyed the gospel of God, and you shall not go to hell, nor spend eternity in the lake of fire. For this you and I are eternally thankful to our Lord Jesus Christ for saving us from what we deserved as well as others. But what has this verse got to do with us Christians? The previous verse speaks of judgment must begin at the house of God, and herein is its warning to us, the Lord's redeemed people. We have been entrusted with that gospel of God, and one day we must face God in judgment to give an account of what we have done with that trust. It is so solemn, for it is the Savior of life unto life to some, and to others it's the Savior of death unto death. It will bring eternal salvation to some and eternal damnation to others, and God has put that solemn trust into our hands. What can we do about it? First, we are to lay down our lives for Christ and for his gospel, giving it the first place in our time, our strength, and our gifts. The leftovers will not do to meet the challenge of that gospel. This means a living sacrifice day by day, with no work too hard, no hours too long, and no price too high, as the cost of us of being faithful stewards of that solemn trust of the gospel of God. Second, we are to declare that gospel to every man the world around. None of us can do this by himself, but each Christian is to do all in his power to help take that powerful gospel of Christ to all our fellow men of every nation, every language, and every race, as we see each one as an eternal soul worth more than the whole world, and for that one Christ died. Third, each born-again child of God is a Christian, bearing that blessed name of our beloved Lord and Savior, and as such we are responsible to live a Christian life as a living witness to the gospel in its transforming power, changing our naturally selfish life into a life of daily sacrifice for others, as in sincere compassion we go out after the lost, jumping over every obstacle, whether mountains or oceans, and going and keep going further into the jungles of heathen darkness with that soul-saving and life-changing gospel of Christ. But what shall our end be if we do not discharge at the judgment seat of Christ? We shall suffer loss, and it shall be a real suffering, as we shall receive no reward and no crowns, while others who are faithful to that trust of the gospel shall be rewarded and crowned. Then at the great white throne we shall see those we knew on earth, but we did not speak to them of our Savior. As they are judged, our Lord will require their blood at our hand, as he turns to us his people to say, "And you knew all this, but you did not warn them." We will be ashamed before the Lord, and our Lord shall be ashamed of us, as he told us, saying, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This will be the eternal end of our failure to be faithful to that solemn trust of the gospel of God. That gospel cost God the supreme sacrifice of his beloved Son.